At that time, a very wise judge named Samuel governed the nation of Israel, but the people wanted a king, such as the neighboring countries had. So Samuel called together all the tribes, and in the presence of them all, he anointed Saul's head with oil, saying,
"You are the one whom God has chosen to reign over Israel."
Sometime after that, Nahash, the leader of the Ammonites, besieged the town of Jabesh in Gilead. The inhabitants were terrified, and they made the following proposition.
"If you will make a treaty with us, we will be your servants."
"I accept, but on one condition. Every one of you will have his right eye cast out, so that there may be perpetual shame on Israel."
When Saul heard what Nahash had said, he was filled with anger. He gathered together 330,000 men and engaged the Ammonites in battle, wiping them out completely. On several occasions, the Philistines launched their armies against Israel, but God was with his people, and on each occasion, the enemy was beaten. Saul, however, had twice committed great sins against the Lord, and Samuel warned him,
"You have sinned against God by rejecting his word. God is now rejecting you as king."
Obeying the word of the Lord, Samuel went to Jerusalem. There he met a young shepherd called David, who used to play a harp as he watched over his sheep. God said to Samuel,
"Anoint him, for this is the one I have chosen."
And so the grace of God came upon David and was withdrawn from Saul. But Saul was so troubled in his mind that a player of the harp was sent for to calm him. David came, and his music soothed Saul, who found friendship with him and made him his armor-bearer. Sometime afterwards, the Philistines reassembled their armies between Shokoch and Azekah. Saul was preparing to engage them in battle when the enemy ranks parted and a soldier named Goliath came forward. He was a giant of a man, and his armor was terrifyingly heavy. He challenged the Israelites.
"Choose one of your men to come and fight with me. If he conquers me, the Philistines will be your slaves. But if I win, you will be our slaves."
Saul and his soldiers were filled with fear, for none of them dared face Goliath. But David went forward, armed only with his stick and his sling and a few small pebbles. The giant mocked at him.
"Ha, ha, 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 ha! Am I a dog that you come out against me with a stick?
You come out against me with a sword, a lance, and a javelin. And I come out against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. I shall conquer you."
Throwing down his stick, David took one of his pebbles, fitted it into his sling, and hurled it against the giant. Goliath was struck in the middle of the forehead, and he crashed to the ground like a mighty tree. Whereupon David ran forward and cut off his head. When Saul died, David reigned over Israel. He was a very great king, always obedient to God's word. He defeated the Philistines in battle, made the Jebusites leave Jerusalem, and brought the Ark of the Covenant into the city. He composed a large number of wonderful psalms, but he tarnished his glory by sending one of his warriors, Uriah, to his death, because he wanted to marry Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. The prophet Nathan, sent by God, came to David and said to him,
"Because you have sinned, misfortunes will rain upon you."
And it was so. First of all, David lost the son that Bathsheba had given him. Then Absalom, his other son, stirred up a revolt against his father, and David had to flee Jerusalem in the middle of the night. When he had drawn up his troops to face those of his son, he said to them,
"Out of respect for me, be gentle with Absalom."
The two armies met in the forest of Ephraim. David's army defeated Absalom's, and more than 20,000 men met their deaths. Absalom fled, mounted on a mule, and as he was passing through a very thick part of the forest, his long hair caught in the branches of an oak tree, and he hung there in between heaven and earth. A soldier saw him, and he took the news back to Joab, one of David's captains. Joab said immediately,
"Why didn't you kill him? I would gladly have given you 10 shekels of silver and a girdle."
"Even if I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver, I would not touch the king's son. And I advise you not to touch him either."
"I'm not going to waste my time here listening to you."
Going against David's orders, Joab took his javelin and pierced Absalom's heart. When David learnt of the death of his son, he was stricken with grief. He covered his face and cried out,
"Oh, my son Absalom! My son Absalom! Would God I had died for thee! Oh, Absalom, my son! My son!"
Later, feeling that his end was near, David summoned his son Solomon and said to him,
"I shall die very soon. Be strong. Obey God faithfully, observing his word and his commandments, such as they are written in the law of Moses."
Having thus spoken, David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city he had created, the city of David. Solomon, the new king, went to Gilson to offer burnt sacrifice to the Lord. One night, while he was sleeping, God appeared to him and said,
"Ask whatever you may desire, and I will give it to you."
"I am but a young man. Give me enough wisdom to be able to distinguish good from evil."
"I will grant your wish. And if you obey my commandments, you will enjoy a very long life."
When he awoke, Solomon realized he had been dreaming, but there was now wisdom in his heart. One day, he had to deliver judgment when two women were involved in a dispute over a child.
"Your Majesty, I live in the same house as that woman, and each of us has a baby 3 days old. Last night, her baby died. While I was asleep, she took my son and put her dead son in his place."
"It is my son who is alive. Yours is the dead baby."
"Which of you is speaking the truth?"
"I am."
"We shall see. Bring me a sword."
When the sword had been brought, Solomon ordered,
"Cut the living child in two. Give one half to each of the women."
"No, Your Majesty, I beseech you. Give her the living child, but do not kill him."
"Give the living child to this woman, for she is his mother."
When it became known how Solomon had given judgment in this matter, everyone in Israel realized that divine wisdom had descended upon him. And furthermore, men from distant countries came to ask for his advice. To thank God, Solomon built a wonderful temple at Jerusalem, a temple made of gold, silver, and rare woods. When he died, the people said to Rehoboam, his son,
"Your father made our yoke a heavy one to bear. Lighten it, and we will serve you."
But Rehoboam consulted the elders and asked them,
"What do you advise me to reply?"
"If you are just to your people, and if you speak to them with goodness in your heart, they will always serve you."
Ignoring the advice of the elders, Rehoboam turned for advice to the young men who had grown up with him.
"What must I reply to the people who come to me and say, 'Lighten the yoke that your father imposed on us'?"
"You must reply, 'I will make your burden an even heavier one to bear.'"
And Rehoboam said to the Israelites,
"My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions."
Some of the tribes then revolted and went to Shechem, where they took for their king Jeroboam, who had been one of Solomon's captains. Rehoboam reigned over only the few tribes who lived in the towns in Judah, and from that time onwards, Palestine was divided into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. To prevent his people from returning to the house of David, Jeroboam had two altars constructed at Bethel and at Dan, where he placed idols in the form of golden calves, which the Israelites worshipped. One day, while Jeroboam was preparing to offer a sacrifice, a man of God came up to him and said,
"The altar will split, and the coals that are on it will be scattered."
Jeroboam was exceedingly angry, and pointing at the man, he shouted,
"Seize him!"
But Jeroboam's hand dried up and his arms stiffened. Then the altar split, scattering the coals just as the man of God had foretold. Jeroboam and his successors continued to do things which displeased God. And Ahab, a king of the Israelites, scorning the God of his fathers, built a temple to the god Baal, whom he began to worship. A prophet called Elijah, prompted by the Almighty, said to Ahab,
"You have offended the Lord. Just as it is true that the God of Israel is a living God, so is it true that there will be no dew or rain in this land, save at my command."
The drought lasted 3 years, bringing great famine with it. Then God said to Elijah,
"Go and present yourself to King Ahab, and I will cause rain to fall upon the earth."
When Ahab saw Elijah, he cried out,
"Are you the one that has caused all the trouble in Israel?
You abandoned God to worship Baal. Assemble all the people of Israel around me on Mount Carmel. Bring also the 50 prophets of Baal, as well as the 400 prophets of Astarte."
When all were assembled, Elijah addressed them as follows.
"How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord is your God, follow him. If Baal is your God, follow him."
At Elijah's command, two bulls were sacrificed and placed on two piles of wood. Then Elijah said,
"Call upon your God to light your altar. I will call upon the God of my fathers. The God who sends fire will be the true God."
It was in vain that the prophets of Baal begged their God to send fire. Then Elijah spoke to the Lord, and the flames licked his altar. In the face of this miracle, the people cried out, Then Elijah announced that rain would fall. Clouds darkened the horizon, and the rain soaked into the parched earth. But Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, tried to have Elijah murdered, so the prophet had to hide in the desert, and he stayed there for 40 days. Later, while he was journeying with his friend Elisha, a chariot of fire drawn by two flaming horses separated them from each other. And Elijah was taken up by a whirlwind into heaven.